alleviate any doubts, if I close my eyes and meditate, at least if I'm Madhumangal, I didn't say what my name was. My name is Madhumangal, and when I close, you know, like he might play a game with Krishna. Krishna, if I close my eyes, what am I meditating on? And of course, all the boys will start laughing. And then one boy will say, Sandesh, Ladus, bananas. He'll say, no. Keep guessing. Were you meditating now? Yeah, I'm meditating now, big time. Okay, kachoris, no. Rubbery, yeah. Rubbery, yeah, you got it. You entered my mind, you read my mind, you entered my meditation. So this is the whole process of bhakti, is becoming so much one with the heart of particular residents of Vrindavan that represent a particular form of love which attracts our particular heart. It's all about individualness. Krishna has, like they sometimes have a, you know, clothes for every man, or they have all kinds. So Krishna has forms of love for every possible loving desire. Whatever desire you have, whatever type of desire you have to love God, he has a suitable form and place and expression and mood to reciprocate with that desire. And he has so many associates that are living that very reality which you're aspiring to experience. So they become the role models for the desired love that you want to attain. And then, of course, there's a prescribed way to do that. That's called sadhana. Sadhana imbued with attachment, sadhana imbued with intensity and desire, what they say, lobha, greed. So now there's another verse here, in chapter 1664, we can read more about this interesting relationship of Krishna. I'm always thinking how humorous it would be if we were to present these points to the members of the Sri Sampradaya. You know, your Lakshmi and all the Vaikunthavasis are fainting. Yeah. That was a very humorous exchange with a friendly party. His host, no less. This is 1664. And this all comes under the category of Lakshmi and Narayan are enchanted by Radha and Krishna. All these verses prove this point. 12, 40, 41, 50, 64, 74, 14, 22, and 16, 64. This one point is clearly established here, that Lakshmi and Narayan are completely enchanted by Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges to the point of fainting, murcha. This is the point, and these are the supportive verses which we discussed. Shataka 12, then there's quite a few verses. 40, 41, 50, 64, 74. Shataka, which means chapter. 14, verse 22, now Shataka 16, verse 64. Unfortunately, we have no real understanding or knowledge of Sanskrit, otherwise we could really go very deeply into all these verses. But whatever access has been given to us by learned God brothers who know the subject, we're trying to take their blessings and mercy on our head and explain something. Ananda rasa tundale madura gunja indivare virajya nija mandire lasati san anuragendire sada marana mohana pranaya sampada sundare ratim vitano radhika madura marvi mandire. From what distance we are, we can appreciate how beautiful it is. Ratim Vitanu, Radhika Madhura, Radhika Madhura Madhavi Mandare. At least we can appreciate the beauty of the language. And this is a directive, an agya, an order from the author, the Shiksha Guru, the benevolent and kind Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is trying to bring us into the association of Radharani by enhancing our appreciation for Vrindavan, and illuminating our hearts with the superiority of Radha and Krishna's love, and making us eligible to become a servant of the Sakis, like her, Tungavidya, Prabhupada the Saraswati. He's telling us, listen, O readers, O sadhakas, just increase your attachment. We know about that. We have lots of attachments. It's easy to increase them. But for what? For Maya or all the things that we carried with us from our last life? We have so many inherited attachments. Oh, your father died. Did you inherit anything? Oh, yeah. Oh, you were born. Did you bring your inheritance with you? When we're born, we bring our inheritance with us, our punya phal and our papa phal. Just increase your attachment for the most enchanting Sri Radhika's sweet temple built with Madhavi flowers and creepers. It means Kunja Mandir. That Kunja Mandir in the forest of Vrindavan is a vast ocean of transcendental mellows. It's more than just a house. It's a house of love. It's an abode of rasa. It's full of mellows of rasa and bhav. Because it's the meeting place of Radha and Krishna. It's a lila stali where they experience their sringar rasa and their surata vilas, their most intimate divine conjugal loving pastimes in those private Nibrita Nikunja's confidential forest groves of Vrindavan. It's a vast ocean of transcendental mellows. That Kunja Mandir is decorated with lotus flowers and it's surrounded by humming bees, which add to the excitement. Buzzing, it's like it's not a quiet place. Usually you want to go to a very quiet place to relish. But here, these are all elements to create excitement, movement. Love means movement of hearts and minds and forms. So here, the buzzing of the bees, it's like music. You see, you can imagine watching a movie with no music. How would your emotions be stirred? How would you're just watching a movie, and there's a chase scene. And you see a car going down like this, and somebody. And then the two lovers are looking at each other. That silent movie. It wouldn't, it'd probably go to sleep, I suppose. So in the same thing, in the loving pastimes of Krishna and the Gopas, or anywhere, there's so much sound, surrounding sounds, birds, and the lowing of cows. In the daytime, it's the lowing of cows, and their sound, horn. And the boys laughing and the birds chirping. It's very the lively, exciting sounds of the daytime when the boys are skipping and playing and running behind the cows. But then at night or in the day in those private dark regions of the forest, there are certain birds there and the buzzing of the bees. It creates, because all these insects and birds and animals, they're all cooperating with Vrindadevi and Yogamaya to create the ideal atmosphere and setting for Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges. So externally it appears to be the buzzing of bees, but to the ears of lovers it reminds them of Rati, Kamadev and Rati. Kamadev's wife is Rati. Kam means intense loving desire. That's Kam. And Rati means the attachment born from that desire. Rati. Kamadev is the lord of intense craving of love, loving desire. And his wife is Rati. She is the principal attachment that arises from that expression of that desire. When one expresses that intense craving for intimate conjugal love, then he becomes attached. Wherever there is Kam, then there is Rati. Where there is husband, wherever there is Pati, then there is Patni. Where there is Kam, then there is Rati. So Kam may arise, but unless it's expressed, then Rati doesn't come. But it's just dormant Kam, some lust comes, but then there's no expression, so then Rati doesn't come. And then Kamadev leaves. He says, oh, I have no scope here. I'm here in this person's mind. I'm ready, I'm pulling my bow, he's about to express his lust. I'm pulling my bow, my 5 arrows of rupam and fragrance and touch and all these things. Is he going? And if, and then he expresses, he goes with the expression of that thought or desire by expressing it physically or externally in this world, then immediately Rati comes, attachment. Because she's there to serve her husband. Her husband's service begins when he lets, when the arrows let loose and it hits the target. If he lets loose the arrows of form and just go over your head, you duck, you know, you go like, psh, he's all, no success. Like with Shiva, he tried, Shiva was meditating. He was shooting his arrows heavily. And Shiva was like, someone is trying to disturb me. A lord of lust is trying to disturb me. I think it's so easy. My meditation is so weak and so much big shape and distraction and me. Are you kidding? He opens his eyes. Yeah. And then he just blew him away, so to speak. With his, of course, he burned him up. And some acharyas say, but in one sense, Kamadeva was successful because lust has a brother. His wife is attachment, but his brother is anger. This is the brother of Kamadeva. So lust often, anger comes also. So because Shiv was affected by anger, he became angry. He did disturb, he was successful to disturb his meditation, not necessarily to create lust, but his brother came. Meditation was broken, so he wasn't that fixed in meditation. So Cupid was successful. And second point is that he became angry. The fire of his anger burned him up. He became Ananga. So this is, he's telling us to meditate on the Kunja Mandir and how beautiful it is. And he's buzzing hummingbees. They, Rati Devi, she, her husband shoots a bow. And he has a musical instrument too. I forget, maybe Veena, I'm not sure. But she plays kartals, Rati Devi. So that high-pitched ding, 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 it sounds like the humming of bees. So the humming of bees, the humming, the, there's all lotus flowers, lotus flower bed in the kunj, there inside made of lotus petals and stems and like a mattress of stems and lotus petals. And then the bees are buzzing around. They're not disturbing. Just like if you have music playing in a stereo, it's not disturbing. It's just some sound vibration, not disturbing your bed or anything. It's just, it's the ambience, atmosphere. So the bees are like the speakers. And then that sound is bringing attachment. It's bringing rati. It's increasing the rati also. It's increasing the madhura rati, the loving attachment of Radha and Krishna. So it becomes an udipan to stimulate. That's why it's part of the meditation, that not only do you meditate on the physical, the kunja, the trees, or the configuration, but then the sounds in the kunja. Because meditation is just like meditation is just like dreaming. When we dream, we're unconscious. Our external senses are sleeping, but our mental senses are awake. In our mind, while we're dreaming, we're seeing, we're smelling, we're hearing, we're tasting, we're touching. All things are going on in the dream. And you wake up and you have distinct experiences. Oh, I touched this. I tasted that. I saw this. I heard that. She said, he said. Or I heard this music or whatever. So now meditation, when one goes into meditation, then he can meditate on the form of some particular scene, which he's telling us, the sounds, and then the feelings, emotions. There's so many layers of meditation. So he's explaining to, that's called the immersion, that you're not just meditating. You can just meditate, oh, there's these trees, or this yoga pit is like this. But, you know, but the gopis are there, and Lalita Sakhi is offering yoga pit. She's offering artik. But she, you know, she has bangles and she has waist bells. And so there's some sound when she's offering. You know, when a lady moves her arm, it ching, ching, ching. When you ever see she's cooking and she has bangles, ching, ching, ching. And when they're not just standing there, they're very artistically offering artik to Radha and Krishna, yoga pit and the artik. And then she maybe moving, I remember one pujari, and Krishna Balaram, he was a little artistic type. So when he would offer arti, he would kind of, he would a little bit dance, like, you know. He would, Actually, one foot he would keep flat, a little bit forward, almost like some Tai Chi stance. He had one foot flat on the ground, and one foot was up on his toes, behind him, like kind of a modified threefold bending for me. He was like, and he was, he was like ringing a bell, and he was, it was like half the people would be looking at the pujari, because he would come out in front of the door, and I, when I would offer arti, many times offer arti, I would make sure that, and Radha Shyam's altar, because there's a big, big, fat door like this. I would open like this. I would deliberately stand behind the door, and all you would see, because you have to be a little bit out. You just see my hand, you know, because it have to be like that. But he would push the door, these, and he was like a third deity. There's Radha Shyam and the pujari, and because he's moving, and you know, they're also moving, but we're not so pure to see. And so everyone was like, you know, samsara dhavan. So the idea, not to get distracted by that kind of scene, it's interesting, but the point is that he's moving while he's offering arti, and Lita Sakhi, you think she's, and that, so that's reminding me that Lita Sakhi would stand there so elegantly and so beautifully and offer arti to the divine couple, Radha Govinda Yugo. So then what is the sound of those ankle bells, and what is so many things. This is the idea of meditation. So he's telling us to think like this, to meditate on this, it's adored by Goddess Lakshmi, who has left her own abode out of attachment for this temple. So this it's called Kunja Griha or Kunja Mandir. It's Nibrita Mandir, Nibritini Kunja Mandir. Nibritini Kunja Mandir. Nibrita means very confidential, private, secluded place. And Lakshmi Devi, she's left, and she's meditating. There's no Kunja Mandirs under this bale tree. She's sitting under a bale tree, a bilva tree in Lakshmivan, and leaves are dropping on her head, especially this season. January, the leaves fall off. Now, this is the fall season in Vrindavan, leaves falling so much. January, she's sitting there, and she has to meditate. So she's meditating, oh Krishna, now it's time for Ban Bihara. And he's wandering in the forest with Radha and the gopis. Maybe they enter the Kunja Mandir, and there's a beautiful lotus flower bed there in the center, and there's buzzing bees. So she's meditating like this herself, on the sight, on the rupam of the Kunja Mandir, on the shabda, on the sounds of the bees, on the fragrance of the flowers there, what those lotus flowers smell like. I remember there was, when we were teenagers in New York, they would have different, what they call, immersion theater. It's called immersion theater off Broadway. And what they would do is they would show a movie or a play, oftentimes a movie, and they would try to submerge the senses of the audience in the whole experience. So they would go around and they would make fragrance. They would go up and down the aisles and spray fragrance. So you're watching a movie and smelling something, and then and I remember once they would have these different type theme movies. Like it would have one where it would have, like they would show scenes. Like they would show strawberries. And usually people would take different, you know, herbs and spices and whatnot, and go to these places. But they would show these movies, and they have music, and they would like they would have say there's a song "Strawberry Fields Forever." It was some kind of song from one group, strawberry like this. So then they would sing this song, which everyone knew, and then on the screen, this huge screen, would be pictures of strawberries. So then this fragrance would come, some synthetic fragrance of strawberries. Then they would come around with a bowl and give everybody strawberries. I'm serious. And it was called immersion theater, and it was like a happening. It was like 3D movies, you know, 3D movies, like or what you put special glasses. So they wanted all everyone's senses to become, you're hearing the song, you're seeing the sight, you're smelling, you're tasting. So this is what meditation is supposed to be. This is with our external senses all happening, all absorbed in one point, all absorbed in strawberries. But we're supposed to have all of our senses absorbed in Krishna's Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. So this is the perfection of, that's why when we do smaran or meditation, we're doing all nine limbs of devotion, and we're doing Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela all in one. Everything's there. Atman Vedam is there, Shravanam, Kirtan, Puja, Archanam, prayers, everything is there, meditation. And then you're worshipping the Nam and the Rupa, the Guna, Leela, It's all there. Because you're chanting the Nam, you're meditating. And you're meditating, on, and then this Sakhi is speaking, and that Sakhi is speaking. They all have names. It's all Nam Sankirtan. Lalita speaking at Krishna, Lalita, Vishaka. These are all names. These are all Nam, transcendental names. Prem Nam, Chitra, Tungavidya, Induleka. So he's giving us a very nice object. Increase your attachment for the most enchanting Sri Radhika's sweet temple. Ananda rasa tundale madhura gunjat indivare vivrajya nija mandare lasati anuragendre anurag, your anurag. Sada marana mohana pranaya sampada sundare. The beautiful wealth of that Madan Mohan, that eternal enchantment of the pranaya of Krishna. Ratim Betano Radhika Madhura Madhavi Mandire in the Madhavi Mandir. Madhavi is a very fragrant white flower. It's a creeper. So you can imagine that the whole walls are made of this, maybe some bushes or whatever, some trees. And then all these Madhavi Latas are climbing up like this and surrounding the whole thing is all white flowers everywhere. So fragrant. Flowers have such a fragrance. You can get intoxicated by drinking liquor. You get intoxicated by eating sweets. You can get intoxicated by seeing something amazing. You can get intoxicated by hearing something amazing. And you can get very intoxicated by fragrance. The deer go mad by their own fragrance, Mrigamada. It's called Mrigamada. Mrigamada is a name for kasturi. Kasturi is produced by the navel of the male deer, wild forest deer, ox, whatever they call it, deer, some deer. The mriga, and it's called kasturi. And at certain seasons or time, month, I don't know, but his navel or some gland there that secretes some fluid, and it gathers around his own navel. And it's very, it was like, he's like incense on his tail or something, you know. And he's smelling it, and he's going crazy. It's called Mriga Mada. Mada means crazy. He becomes Mada. But Mriga means animal. But in this case, it means this wild deer. The ox, what are they called? The musk ox, they call it. Musk ox, or this kasturi. He's running, he becomes mad. He's running everywhere in the forest. Just, he becomes intoxicated just by the fragrance. So this Madhavi Mandira, this Madhavi Lata, this whole Kunja temple, or the love temple, the love cottage, you can say the love cottage of Radha and Krishna, love cottage, it's so intoxicating, just the fragrance. Have you ever gone to a temple in the summertime in Vrindavan, May or June, and they've had a full bungalow? Or the bela, what we call bela flowers, which are actually jasmine or mogra, they call bela, they call jasmine. It's unbelievable. You get intoxicated, and even snakes somehow they can smell. If you have very fragrant flowers, snakes will come and like they go around the sandalwood tree, they curl around the sandalwood tree to cool off, and also because of the fragrance. I got one when I was planting Ratki Rani in my garden, and then some people said this is not good. I said why? Because it will attract snakes. They'll come at night because the flowers blossom at night, and snakes move in the nighttime to catch the rats running in the fields. You know, the daytime is too hot for them. They don't like the sunshine. So I said, well, that's a risk I have to take. Because right in front of my Thakurji's window, where he rests, I planted Ratki Rani, so at night the fragrance will come in to his bed where he's taking rest for his pleasure. My room is way in the back, but back there we have Malati Latas. I mean, the Malati Latas are going up the wall, the Kuti, and they're also going up the wall in the front too. And at night, they blossom also at night. It's really intoxicating. And it's all there for Krishna's pleasure. When I sleep on the veranda in the summertime, and the Malati Lata and Malavis are right there, and I'm actually feel like I'm intoxicated just by the fragrance of that prasadi ganda. I mean, it's offered already. Krishna already smelled it, so it's prasadi. But it's so snakes do come for the Ratki Rani, but they haven't bitten me. I'm right on the veranda, and I'm thinking sometimes, but I thought, well, it's for Krishna. So this is a nice point. Let's see one more translation to conclude the class. Yes, we're on the time. This is 1664. Oh, that's very interesting. It's amazing. What same different translators and the same Sanskrit. I mean, that's like they say Sanskrit has so many meanings, and according to the Bhav, this is high rasa shastra, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. What is your realization of the Tattva Siddhanta? What is your Bhav, if you're at the level of Bhav, a Bhavuka? And what is your expertise of Sanskrit and rasa Sanskrit? You may know Sanskrit, but you know Sanskrit when it's combined into ras. And rasa shastra, you may know vyakaran, you may know naya, so many things, and kavi and chandas and many things, but to bring out the actual meaning or intended meaning, and then to be tadatmika with the author, with the bhava tunga vidya, with the intention and mood of Prabodhananda Saraswati, just like in Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's sranga, Sartha Darshini, Tika on 10th canto, oftentimes Vishnada is saying, so in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is feeling like this and is thinking like that. So that means that he, the author, Vishnada, he actually understands what Shukadeva is thinking or feeling. So he's certainly a qualified person to comment. So if someone is translating these verses, he must be like, have that finesse and that insight of Vishwanath to Mucky, something. He must have the that intuition and that ability that of spiritual power to actually translate. So in this verse, we're being told to increase your attachment for the enchanting sweet temple, Radhika's sweet temple. So this is Radhika's Kunja Mandir. That she is, why is it Radhika? Because Radhika and her Sakhi Mandris have built this Kunjamandir to serve Krishna for Vilas, Rati Vilas, intimate pastimes of Krishna. Radhika's sweet temple. So she has a beautiful temple. People want to build a temple, so go to the forest and build a Kunjamandir. I'm going to build a temple. Oh, really? Why don't you build one like Radhika's sweet temple, built with Madhavi flowers and creepers? Well, Madhavi is a creeper. Madhavi Lata. And what kind of temple is that? It's an ocean of transcendental mellows. It would be wonderful if we could enter a temple and experience an ocean of transcendental mellows. It is decorated with lotus flowers, surrounded by humming bees, and adored by Goddess Lakshmi. It's worshipped, honored by her. She's left Narayan Lok out of her attachment for this temple. So she has so much attachment. So now that's what it's saying, telling us we should increase our attachment. You know, Lakshmi, she's also attached. She's meditating. She's not there. She can't go there. She's in Lakshmivan. The Gunja Mandir is in Vrindavan. And now this author is saying, he's addressing Lakshmi. Hey, listen, Lakshmi Devi, Suno. Oh, Goddess Lakshmi, renounce your shining palace filled with the nectar of bliss and a host of blue lotuses and humming bees. It's like a totally different angle. He says, you should renounce your opulent palace there in Vaikuntha. It's filled with, even though, why should I renounce? She might say, why should I renounce a palace? If you have a palace which is filled with Anand Amrit, or whatever, the nectar of bliss, and a host of blue lotus flowers and humming bees. And so give that up. And what should you do? You should, with great love, Lakshmi Dev, you should find happiness not there, but in Radhika's sweet Madhavi Lata palace, beautiful with the opulence of her love for Lord Madan Mohan. So Prabhupada Saraswati is taking the liberty to tell Lakshmi that to become a renunciate. You're attached, Lakshmi Devi. You're attached to being the goddess of fortune and living. You have, okay, you think you have a beautiful place. And if someone said, can you imagine, would you want to renounce such a place? What do you have? You have a palace. What is it? It's filled with the nectar of bliss. Your palace, the palaces in Vaikuntha are full of bliss. It's bliss. You think the spiritual world is called, this is Vaikuntha, this is Premananda. They're experiencing the bliss of love. But they're not experiencing the bliss of Madan Mohan's love, or Radha Madan Mohan's love. That's the Sringar Rati, that inconceivable love that they have, the Parakya Bhav. So he's telling her, renounce that. And what should you do? You want to find happiness? With great love, you should find happiness in Radhika's Madhavilata Mandir. And what makes that beautiful? Maybe and maybe there's no blue lotus flowers, and maybe there's no bees, but of course there are. What makes it beautiful? That's beautiful. What is that palace made beautiful with? The opulence of love for Lord Madan Mohan. What makes Radharani's Kunja Mandir beautiful is the supremacy of her love. Her love is so great for her Madan Mohan that you can't even understand. You can't understand how great it is. Radharani's love is so great for Madan Mohan that she can give up everything. You ran away from your husband and did austerities, but can you give up your Purusha Abhiman, your Mahishi Abhiman, excuse me, can you give up your Mahishi Abhiman, that mentality of being a queen or being born as a Brahmani, the wife of the ocean, you know, born from the churning of the ocean, she's a Brahmani. Can you give up your name, your prestige, like Radharani? That's the opulence. You have the opulence of bliss. Your cottage, your mandir is full of bliss. Okay, everything in Vaikuntha is full of bliss. Your mandir is full of bliss, and your mandir is very beautiful, Lakshmi mandir. You know that you heard of Lakshmi Narayan mandirs. So your Lakshmi Narayan mandir, your Lakshmi mandir is full of blue lotus flowers, very attractive, very fragrant, and the humming of bees. It's a very nice place, but you can't compare with Radharani's Madhavilata. She has Madhavilata. And that Madhavilata, that's Radharani's name also, Madhavi. She's like a Madhavilata wrapped around the beautiful tamal tree of Sham. But what is the opulence there in Radharani's Kunja is the extent of her love, her great love for her Krishna, Madan Mohan. And because her love is so great that she makes Madan, the bewilderer of Cupid, bewildered. Madan Mohan Mohini. So this is the conclusion of this verse, is that give up everything you have and worship Madan Mohan Mohini. Whatever you have is great. You may have the nectar of bliss. You may be living in Vaikuntha. Forget it. It's nothing. So these are the verses which are establishing the supreme enchantment of Radha and Krishna. Lakshmi is completely enchanted. Narayan is completely enchanted. Prabodhananda Saraswati is completely enchanted. And he's trying to enchant all of us with his wonderful descriptions. Vrindavan Mahimamrita Ki Jai.
Did you mention that the kartals, the jingling of the bangles of Lalita Sakhi, who's offering aarti to the couple, that jingling sounds like kartals? Did I hear that?
No, I didn't say that. No.
It sounds like something?
No, I'm just saying that when the what it is said other places is that the when Radha and Krishna are enjoying their intimate divine sports, then the jingling of Radharani's ankle bells or waist bells, it says in Govinda Lilamrita, that sounds like the kartals of Rati. Because at that point, when Radharani is maybe in Viparita Lila, Viparita, you know, taking male position, aggressive position on the top side, then she becomes very voracious. And then, because when she's lying there, the bells are silent. So then it's when she's expressing her intense attachment for Krishna, her Rati, when her Rati becomes excited, then she, because when she's lying down, you can't hear waist bells jingling, or ankle bells. Anyway, it's a little intimate topic, but when in the Viparita Lila and Conjugal Vilas, when Radha's on top, then her, this is in Gita Govinda also, Sangeeta Govinda, her Nupura, her ankle bells, Nupura and Kinkinimala, her waist bells are jingling loudly. And because Krishna's Kamadev, well, Kamadev is getting defeated by Rati. And Rati is the wife of Kamadev. Because just like Rati takes, you know, defeats her husband. So now it's not, it's the lover, not the husband. But Radharani, Radharati, her, she's defeating him in love. She's defeating Kamadev, Krishna, at this time. And then her, the jingling of her waist bells pronounces her victory. Rati, it pronounces, as it says, the jingling of her waist bells pronounces Rati's victory over Kamadev. And the jingling of her waist bells resembles the loud resounding of Rati's cymbals. That's exactly what it says. But I was just saying that when we're meditating on Yogapit meditation, that Lita Sakhi is moving. And when she's moving her arm, then her bangles are jingling. So there's sound there. So we can meditate on the sound of Lita Sakhi's jingling her bangles or her waist bells and the buzzing of the bees. And that's so many things. Pushpodhyan.
And he is so many Udipans. So I've got quite a few of what it can, but this Kartal and Vidanda which were playing, I don't know what that's reminding him of. Like the associates.
Yeah, the arti.
Associates is there, the garland is there, his garland. That's like the qualities of Shrimati Radha. Because Gadadhar has given that garland to him. And there's so many other aspects. And this Kartal, I was stuck here for quite some time, just thinking of what it could be, because it's going, this Leela is going from Gaur Leela to Radha Krishna Leela.
Well, I mean, the Mridanga it represents it, the arrows of Cupid or something. I mean, arrows of Kamadev, let's say. The analogous thing in Krishna Leela, because when the Yogapit Artik is going on, well, I mean, because if you want to do external comparison, then they're also playing kartals, gopis, and they're also playing pakawach and mridanga. I think one of Vishaka, one of the two, plays mridanga. Vishaka plays mridanga. So that can be just that, the external, but then the symbolic representation of what it is, that's another deeper thing.
Yes.
So then you can take the kartals of one to represent Rati,
yes.
And the mridanga, I'm not sure how that fits in with, I mean, putting those kartal and mridanga together, then you put Cupid, Kamadev and Rati together, and Rati plays the kartals and Cupid plays the what? So that,
harp.
Excuse me?
Harp.
Yeah, that harp is,
that's,
I know what harp is, that's a Western thing, like the inside of a piano or something, you know, the piano part, you know, you take it out and put it like this. It looks like that. But in spiritual Indian and traditional Vedic musical instruments, I don't know, maybe Veena, I think it's more like Kachabi Veena or something. I think he plays Veena. You know, our concept.
It's just called Jantara. I mean, an instrument that closely resembles harp is Jantara.
They have such a thing in Vedic?
But they don't bang it with...
In Vedic music they have?
Yeah.
What's
like
it called?
Plectrum for a guitar. They have a...
pick. It's called a pick. On your finger, pick.
Jaltaram.
Jaltara?
Jaltarang.
Jaltarang. Waves of water. Is that what it's supposed to sound like? Jaltarang. I mean, tarang means waves and jal means water. Ding, jing, jing. It's something, is it like that? It's a subtle sound. Ding, ding. So that harp, well, that's a Western thing. You know, Kamadev's playing his harp. Could the twang, the analogy there is the twanging of the harp. Twang is twanging the bowstring. Because when you pull the bowstring, it goes twang, right? So when he said form, woman's form, twang, woman's voice, twang, woman's fragrance, twang, woman's touch, twang, gone. And then he drops his bow, he puts his arrows back, okay, job done, next, okay, dwing, rupam, dwing, then, what is it, Gandha, fragrance, because those two you can, without even meeting, you can see the form and you can smell, because you know they have so much perfume on them, flavor the whole universe. It's like, wow, you know, then so that's two. Then you say, excuse me, and then shabda, that's three. And then taste, rasam and sparsham, that depends. That depends on how far in Maya you want to be. How far your contemplation goes. Contemplation, attachment. Because those are all phases of Cupid also. Infatuation, madness. You know, there's five steps. You know, burning, infatuation, attachment, burning. I have it in my notes. I can't remember just now. The 5 hours represent five incredible increasing attachments. Infatuation, burning, loss of sleep, madness, like this. Emaciation, loss of appetite. You fall in love. I don't want to eat. You're at the dinner table. Why aren't you eating? Oh, I don't feel so hungry. Loss of appetite.
Why are you up so late?
Why are you up so late? Can't sleep. Loss of sleep, loss of appetite. And then first is infatuation. Wow. Did you see her? She talked to me. Yeah, that's the bad part.